Gut. Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the live Q&A for Master Your Emotions from the Inside Out on Sunday, the 12th of February in Australia, the 11th of February, Saturday for other parts of the globe. Alhamdulillah. And I'm here with May Sarah and anyone else who might happen to show up, but that's okay. We've got a pile of questions that people have asked during the week as well to answer. But we will start, inshallah, with May Sarah's questions. Now, do you want me to just go ahead and answer those and explain what those questions were?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Awesome. So the first question was about staying present in the moment and being able to, you know, manage your emotions, but then sometimes having days where that's not possible, and whether that's normal or not. And yes, that's absolutely normal. Even those of us who have understood this and, you know, being able to have a master of our emotions for a significant amount of time now, have days off. I had one yesterday. I wasn't necessarily in a snappy mood, but I felt very down and very much like I just wanted to sleep instead of get on with things. And I knew that it wasn't related to being tired, that it was, there's a tiredness that you get and where you feels like you really want to sleep, and it's actually related to emotional stuff going on. And I know what it was because there's something going big going on with my family, and I kind of allowed it to get to me and couldn't see that it's just my own thought in the moment that was creating that experience. So what happens is we do go through patches where we can't see it, where we get lost in what we name as sort of outside in thinking, where it appears like things outside of us are causing us to have the experience that we're having, and we get a bit stuck there. And that's probably only the second day I've had like that in nearly a year. You know, a day where I felt really like, I have moments, but it's never happens as much as a full day, except for very rarely, and that would be the second time in a long, 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 long time. The other time, I think, wasn't heaps that long ago, but it's all relating to the same thing. I know what it is, and I know where I'm getting stuck, alhamdulillah, and it's relating to my family. And it's kind of actually sort of leads into your second question, May Sarah, which is about the effects or the being affected by what other people think, or getting caught into thinking about what other people think and then, you know, feeling upset or emotional or something about that. So the answer to your first question is yes, it's normal to have times like that. We're human. We're not going to be calm and peaceful inside all the time. And the beautiful thing is that the more you understand, the deeper your insight into all of this, the less often it happens. Usually it's much quicker to sort of, readjust. You know how the Prophet ﷺ said the believer is like the lush green plant, that whichever way the wind bends it, when the wind stops, it returns back to its place. That tends to be the case. The more you understand that, the deeper the insight. And then what I find is it gets beyond that. It gets beyond that in that the wind doesn't tend to affect us that much, except for occasionally. And so it's almost like we don't get blown around by the wind as much, honestly. So moving on to the second question, which is about the effects of what other people think of you. Most of the time when we've really understood that our feelings come from our thought in the moment, we understand that it actually doesn't matter what other people think of us, and that we can't change that anyway, that we have no control over that, and understanding that they live in a separate reality, and that even you know, that they're believing of us something, and it doesn't necessarily match what actually really is the truth. In fact, in most cases it won't, because they won't be able to know exactly who you are, because they can't see through your own eyes. So they're, even if they have a close understanding of who you are, it'll never be a perfect understanding. I mean, we don't have a perfect understanding of ourselves half the time, so how could anyone else understand us? Alhamdulillah. So the way it works is that what's happening is, when we're getting upset about the way someone thinks about us, often we're actually believing what it is that they're thinking. Often we're thinking that if they think that way, that must be the way we are. And there's nothing to say that that's the case at all. Just because they see us that way doesn't mean that we are. Just because someone might see us as not generous doesn't make us not generous, you know, because we could be very generous. Abdullah, just to be aware, your camera is on, and I just like to let sisters know that in case they haven't put hijab on or something. But welcome. Let me just check that she can actually, her audio is not on, so she can't actually hear me yet anyway. So what tends to be giving us the most grief is either that we're believing what they believe about us, or what we believe they believe about us, and then we're and so we're getting worried about the fact that we are what they're saying, or what we believe they're thinking. I just put that in there, because sometimes it's all made up in our entire head. The other area we get stuck with that is that we desperately want to change it and get them to think the way about us, the way we want them to think about us. And that's where I got stuck yesterday. That's where I ended up having a rough day, was because it was relating to quite a number of my members of my family who have completely misunderstood me. And in a really bizarre way, actually, and who were behaving in a way where they were trying to act very entitled towards me, like they were entitled to question me about what I was doing about a certain situation, in a very, very arrogant sort of way, and a very condescending and patronizing sort of way. And that was because they've got this misunderstanding about who I am. SubhanAllah. And I allowed that to get to me yesterday, and put too much effort into how do I get them to see this differently. The reality is, I don't think they can. And the reality is, I have to stick to my, they say stick to your guns, as a saying, but I just have to stick to what I know is right, without being bullied into something which I know is wrong, just because they've got a misconception about me. But so it does get to us sometimes, and that's okay. And that's when you can take time out and get a listening partnership, or if you've listened to the one where I talk about listening partnerships, or use the Inner Salam method, and just get yourself centered again and not allow it to keep influencing you, inshallah. Does that answer your question, Miss Sarah?
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you.
Awesome. So, Abdullah, I might just type to her for a moment and just let her know she needs to turn on her audio. Awesome. We've got Amina here, mashallah. Now she hasn't got audio on yet either. Amina, I probably should have put a warning there about the cameras. I forgot to do that. Subhanallah. Because I've got mine set up to always default to have the camera off. Oh, we've got people joining us now, mashallah, mashallah. So what we'll do, Mariam should know how to turn the mic on because she's been here before. She's from my parenting classes. Okay, someone else has got sound. Mariam and Abdullah's got sound, mashallah. I can see that it's working. Alhamdulillah, it's just Amina that we're waiting for now. So welcome, Abdullah. Welcome, Mariam. Assalamu alaikum. You can speak because your microphones are actually on. It's okay. See if Amina, so assalamu alaikum. I think your mic should be working now too. I can hear. You can hear now, alhamdulillah. All right, so if you don't want to speak, you'll need to type your questions. But otherwise, you're most welcome to speak. Maisara and I have been speaking until everyone else joined. So feel free to ask your questions. They will be recorded, but people are only going to hear your voice. Otherwise, I've got some notes here of some questions. What I'll do is if you want to type a question, go ahead, and I'll start answering these questions that I have here. Okay, so this was a good question, is how does it work? And I hope you can hear me over my budgies. They've decided to chase each other around the cave and shout at each other. How does it work to balance your parents and your spouse and pleasing them and pleasing Allah? Because they too need to be pleased. And where do we know that it's about, we're trying to seek approval and trying not to feel guilty, as opposed to whether we've got the right balance? I think that's best way of phrasing the question. It's a really, really good question. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already, you know, taught us to please Him first, and then the people will be pleased. But there is a time when this gets confusing. And one of the times that gets confusing is when the people in our life, firstly, never can be pleased. There are people who are so unaware that their happiness does not rely upon everything outside of them being perfect, that they're putting that pressure on the people in their life. And I'll just mute everybody for a moment. That's, we don't have the typing and scratching noises and the recording. Or the budgie noises. Hello, budgie. So the reality is that humans are humans, and a lot of humans are stuck understanding that with a misconception that in order for them to be happy, or for the order for them to feel a sense of security, or whatever it is, that all their ducks have to be in a row, that everything around them has to be perfect. And they live in this world which is very unlikely to have any peace, because the reality is they have no control over everything outside of them, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to control it. So if you're going to try and please a person like that, is chances are you're not going to succeed, and therefore it's not healthy for you, because you will continue to try and please that person until you've drained yourself of any life left. And an abusive personality, or an abusive type of person, is the extreme version of that. And if you're after 9 years of living in a marriage like that, trying to, for that very reason, because I felt that in order to please Allah, I had to please my husband, and there must have been something wrong with me that I couldn't please him. But the reality was, there wasn't anything wrong with me. It was what was wrong with him. And that he can't see, you know, the reality of the world. So yes, there is a balance in a pleasing Allah. If we're choosing things to do with our life that are pleasing to Allah, of course it encapsulates the fact that we're meant to please our spouse and our parents. And so that's all part of the decision that we make, except where they're being unreasonable, and where also what they're wanting of us is not pleasing to Allah. So let's look at this from a different perspective. We've just done the Me First Summit. We've just understood how damaging it is when we put ourselves last and we drain ourselves of resources until something happens in our life, as far as emotionally or physically, or something happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like us to harm ourselves. So there are many times when, yes, the people in our life may not understand our needs. And I'm not talking about wants and desires. I'm talking about needs, things that we need. And there's a lot of cultural oppression on women that they shouldn't need these things, that they shouldn't need support, that they shouldn't need social interaction, that they shouldn't need rest, that they should be able to. And to hear this word should, it is such a loaded word, the word should. And then this woman is running herself ragged until she ends up ill, or yelling at and screaming at everyone. And then, of course, getting more criticism, feeling more guilty because she's not well enough to do what she feels that she's meant to do, feeling more guilty and accused more because she's the problem, because she's yelling and screaming at everyone. But really the reality is she's been burnt out. So it's not pleasing for Allah to go down that path, and it's not pleasing to Allah for those people to treat the woman that way either. And they may not know any different until she stands up and says, I'm not a robot. I can't keep just going like this. There are certain things I need in order to fulfill, you know, what you need from me, or what you want from me. And be able to say it, even just in those sorts of words, not with any emotion, not with any kind of yelling and screaming or losing it, but just say, you want me to be like this? Then in order to do that, I need this. And to be able to just say it calmly. That's when we've reached an emotional strength to actually live our life in a way that's truly pleasing to Allah. Because we will stop people from abusing us. because expecting too much of a woman is a form of oppression. We are not robots. We are human beings like everyone else. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood that. In fact, I think, you know, you look at a lot of the texts, the women are labeled as the fragile vessels, although I don't feel particularly fragile myself. But there is the hadith that says that you try and straighten the woman who came from the rib of Adam, you try and straighten that rib, it will snap. And that's what happens. And the snapping, it can be physiologically when someone ends up with Lyme's disease or fibromyalgia or something like that because their body has stopped functioning properly. Or it can be that they just lose it, and they're losing it at their kids, they're losing it at their husband, they're losing it at their parents because emotionally they've snapped. So my answer to that question is that yes, Allah comes first, but Allah comes first in terms of our other relationships too. That if those relationships are causing us to harm ourselves or are harming us, then we have every right to say something and do something about it. And we have every right to ask for something that makes our life better. And we aren't meant to be just the slaves to the family. Of course, that's, and I don't put it in terms of slaves, as our primary role is the bringing up of the next generation. And this is what I'm passionate about. As you know, I'm the peaceful parenting coach, is that in order to do that well, we have to do that from a calm and peaceful place inside. Yelling and screaming at our kids, losing it, not showing them the great role model of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our own actions. If we're not doing that, then we are not fulfilling our obligations as women. The men's job is to provide for the family and protect the family, and the woman's job is to educate the children. As far as all the other chores, the cooking, the cleaning and everything like that, there's nowhere in Islam that it defines that role to one person or another. And if we look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would see that he participated in those jobs in the home. Even though he had many wives that could have done it for him, he still participated in it according to hadith by Aisha radiallahu anha. So if you have dreams of things that you want to do for yourself, maybe it's you want to get fit. Maybe it's you want to spend some time reading some books. Maybe it's that you actually do want to have a part-time business on the side. You have these things and you're feeling held back because, you know, there are people in my family that are not going to be pleased with that. Then the solution isn't to get stubborn about it and go, well, I'm going to do it anyway because, yeah, it's my right. The solution for that is actually to be in a really firm, calm place and be able to talk to these people and express in a really firm way how important it is to you. Now, this is where it's tricky, because that picture in our head that we are creating, that's breeding that fear in us to actually say that, it's our own picture. We're already picturing in our head their reaction and how they'll think and what they'll think of us and all these things. And it's building up these feelings in us. And so then when we do try to say it and we do this whole thing of face the fear and do it anyway, it doesn't work, because all of our nervousness comes out in the way we talk. And quite often, especially if we're talking about people who are pretty set in their ways, you know, maybe culturally or familiarly, that this is the way things are and you shouldn't ask for anything else, then it's very hard. They don't take it seriously when there's that kind of, I don't know how to put it, but, you know, there's that nervousness coming out into your voice. When you come to understand your emotions and realize that all those feelings you're feeling are coming from your thought, and there's nothing to say that there's going to be this reaction or that reaction, and you actually are able to have that conversation with fearless confidence. And you might go, what on earth is this fearless confidence? I know I never knew or understand what fearless confidence was until I understood all of this. But when you have fearless confidence, you'll say it in such a way that they'll pay attention and profoundly different results happen. So the first step in getting what it is that you want, that you're visualizing in your life, is the work that we're doing here. It's mastering our emotions so that firstly, we're really in touch with our intuition, with the way, the inner guidance, the guidance that is from Allah, that from within, that we all have. And then we know in our heart that we're not asking for anything that's unreasonable. We're in fact asking for something that we know is good for us, and that Allah is guiding us towards it. There's a real pull towards it. So we have that clear, this clarity in that. And secondly, we have fearless confidence so that when it comes to telling the people in our life, we do so in such a way that they wouldn't even question it. And you might not be able to even visualize certain people in your life not questioning these things. But it is amazing when you have these big shifts in you, how other people's way of dealing with you changes. SubhanAllah. Exactly, Masara. It brings everything back to us and what's within us. And it's not about the other people and it's not about the circumstances. You master your emotions and you get to that point of fearless confidence, which is very possible for every single one of you. You know, there was a time I was pretty much broken and I've worked my way to this fearless confidence. So you can too. I'm not anything more special than anyone else. I'm not anyone more blessed than anyone else. But I did have sheer determination that I was going to get well and not be like this anymore. And you need that sheer determination as well. And following, and like the fact that you're all here, you know, and welcome those that have just joined us here today shows me that you're amongst those. There's about 90 who've signed up for this program. So there's 6 of you here. That says a lot. I mean, it says a lot for you and your commitment. And so I really congratulate you and honor you for being here, SubhanAllah, because that's the first step. The first step is, even when it feels really hard, when it feels really horrible, is still continuing this journey. So good to take away there, Masara, about it is a good thing. It is. It makes it incredibly hopeful because it doesn't rely upon anybody else for us to feel better. So if you have a question you would like to ask, just put up your hand. There's a hand thing that you can click on. That means you put up your hand that says you want to ask a question. In the meantime, you can either do it by voice or you can type it. If you're typing a question, just go ahead and type it. In the meantime, I'm going to work through some of the questions that I've collected from people during the week. So that one was about balancing pleasing parents and spouse and those people and Allah at the same time. Okay, so this is another one. The question was relating to someone being emotionally abusive, and I kind of have actually touched on that in the previous answer, but I can expand on it further. So emotional abuse is a really tricky one. It's really tricky when it comes to the law and getting your rights in Islam as well, because the emotional scars aren't visible. So when I was in my abusive marriage, most of the abuse was emotional. It was very rare that there was ever any harm done to me. So that the day when I had my eye split open That was when one of my friends said, this is the day you have to go and see the imam so that they believe you, that something's happening to you. So emotional abuse is one of the toughest ones, because the scars are internal, because the hurt is happening internally, and it's the most crushing and it's the hardest one to recover from. So if we look at our religion, there is absolutely nothing in our religion that accepts that kind of abuse. It's just people just don't quite know how to go about resolving it, especially because a lot of these characters are such smooth talkers that they usually find a brilliant way of explaining it to imams or judges or people, so that it all sounds very justified and like it's the other person's fault. They're brilliant at that. So when it comes to feelings come from thought in the moment, how does that all work along with an emotionally abusive person? Firstly, when we really start to see that, we can be less hurt by what they're saying and doing, because we begin to see that what they're saying and doing is their problem, not ours. It's them blaming us for their world being miserable, that they're somehow or other they're miserable inside, and they're hooking all of that onto us and putting all the responsibility onto us to make them happy. And then if they're not happy, then it's all our fault. The problem is that we can accept that a lot of things might have happened to us as children that have led us to be susceptible to believing that. And if you followed, you know, my posts along the way, I've told the story about my birth and how I developed this idea that everything was my fault, which made me completely vulnerable to be in the marriage that I was in and make it very hard for me to get out, because I kept thinking I had to fix it, that there was, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put me in this marriage for a reason. It must have been to fix it. And the fact that I wasn't able to fix it or fix him meant that I wasn't doing a good enough job. And so I just pretty much almost killed myself. And I mean that literally. I did have a point where my doctor said to me, what's going to happen to your children if you die? I was that sick. And that was actually the turning point for me, when I realized that, hang on, this has gone too far. So first and foremost, I want to say that no one should accept emotional abuse. It's not acceptable within our religion. That said, I understand that in a lot of circumstances, it's very, very hard, especially in situations where a woman is living with her in-laws and her husband, and it's kind of almost like everyone ganging up on her and making her responsible, not just for her husband's happiness, but everybody else's in the family too. So, you know, subhanAllah, there are sisters that are in these situations. When we understand that our feelings come from thought in the moment, we realize that what they're saying isn't necessarily true. So if we go back to the whole separate realities, if they're saying that you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that, we can stop actually believing that and realizing that they're wrong. That I'm going to have to put you guys outside if you stop fighting. My budgies are fighting. They're so noisy. Can you hear me okay over them, or should I stick them outside for a bit? Alhamdulillah. So when we start understanding our own psychology, we can start. Now, I'm going to say this up front. I haven't done this from within an abusive relationship. I've done this after being out of an abusive relationship. So as far as what results you get while you're still in the relationship, that I could not testify about personally. But certainly if you've left that kind of relationship, understanding this is your perfect way of rebuilding yourself and becoming yourself and finding yourself because you're so lost. You've been so accused all this time of you're not this, you're not that, you need to be this, you need to be that, that you're so busy chasing who you're meant to be that you've forgotten who you really are. And the reality was whoever you really were at the beginning, you were perfect just the way you were. The problem isn't you, it's them. And it's often actually insidious family patterns that are being passed down. And that's another thing about understanding this is that this also is the beginning of stopping those family patterns, alhamdulillah. So let me just read some of these questions here because I think they're related to what I've been saying. Okay, Amina, totally understandable. The fact that you are out of the marriage is fantastic. What we're doing here in Mastering Your Emotions is perfect for what you need because, of course, you will lack confidence in your parenting because they've chipped away, an abuser chips away at your confidence because if you have confidence, they can't manipulate you, they can't control you. So their whole way of being is to chip away at your confidence. So it's not at all, it's surprising that you're finding that. Your parenting will get back on track as you get back on track. It's you first. In this particular case, I can say that with absolute certainty, having come out of it myself. The more you work on yourself, the more you will find that things settle with your kids. And of course, I've got some special tools I teach as the Peaceful Parenting Coach that are ideal for helping children through their hurts because they will have been hurt by what's happened as well. All right. So stick with what we're doing over these 28 days. Ask as many questions as you possibly can. Show up like you have today. Get the most of what you can out of this. And then, you know, in a couple of weeks' time, reach out to me if you want to work with me more because there are other ways I can work with you, inshallah. But for now, do what we're working on, all right, inshallah. So Abdullah said, Abdullah says that these going back to, and this is all related because there is emotional abuse happening a lot in a lot of families, and it may not be at a level where it's called abusive, but it could be called, say, manipulation. And some of it is real. Some of it is that they're placing it on us, and some of it is in our imagination in that because they don't approve, we've put all this big stuff on ourselves. The reality is we are not going to be able to make everyone happy and we're not going to be able to get everyone's approval. And when we are able to reconcile that, it helps a lot. But if we go back to what Abdullah's like continued question here is that it sort of starts off okay with the conversation, but by the end of it come feeling frustrated and doubting and lost again. What that means, Abdullah, and I totally understand that, had many a conversation like that, is that you haven't reached the point of fearless confidence. And so because there is those cracks in your confidence there, those people are, you know, the people who are really not wanting you to have your way, they'll find those cracks and they will, not confident at all. Well, there you go. So it's more than just cracks. Maybe it's even chasms that they're going to work on that part to really get their point across. When you have fearless confidence, basically it doesn't matter what argument they throw at you, you will stick to your point. And in fact, what you'll see is you'll see that their arguments are mostly hollow, and you will actually be able to see through their arguments and realize how hollow they are. instead of really buy into them, which is then what's chipping away at your confidence. Will you reach fearless confidence within 28 days? You know what? It is possible, but everybody will be on their journey at their own pace. And I can't predict or say you'll get it here at this point or that point, because for each and every one of us, it depends firstly how much we put into it. Secondly, it's between you and Allah. Allah will bless you with understanding in the time that you're meant to understand it. And it may be that the process you're going to go through is a journey that is longer than 28 days. I don't know. It's taken me longer than 28 days. What I plan to give you in the 28 days is the knowledge that you need. But what makes the change is the insight. The reason I keep getting you to type your thoughts, to try and think about what you're taking away from things and write them there, is because I'm trying to encourage you to get into that reflective state. Because when you're reflective about what I'm teaching, when your mind is peaceful and not trying to not in all of the rush of everything around you, that's when it's possible for you to have insight. It's the insight that changes things. I'm just a teacher. I'm just sharing with you the words and sharing with you experiences I've had or that I know other people have had that back that knowledge. But for you personally, it's about when you have the insight, when you start to see it. And of course, you know, if we want things to happen, make dua to Allah. Never stop making dua to Allah. If you desperately want fearless confidence, then ask for fearless confidence. And fearless confidence is not arrogance. Fearless confidence is not arrogance. It's not overcoming others' rights. Fearless confidence is still within the realms of pleasing Allah. So you can't be arrogant and please Allah. You can't take the rights of others and please Allah. Fearless confidence means that you're just able to step up and go, I am who I am and I need what I need, and that's the way it is. It's as simple as that. And you're not asking for anything more, and you're not asking to cross to take away anyone's rights. And you're not asking for anything that displeases Allah. You're just asking for what it is that you need, what it is that you may want. It's okay for us to want some things in this life. Inshallah. That's very true, Abdullah. If we feel in our heart 100% that what we're doing is something that's pleasing to Allah, then we have a lot more confidence in what we're doing. The other thing that you will find as you understand more and more that feelings come from thought in the moment and what that means, and we're going to get into that deeper soon. I'm really just trying to guide you step by step through this, because I don't want to lose you along the way by talking in terms that might seem so foreign. I want to lead you on this journey, inshallah. And that's why I also want you to comment, because the more you comment with you share your confusion, the more I know that there's areas I need to elaborate on. So when you understand your feelings come from thought in the moment, that the power of thought is a blessing from Allah, that thought itself is neutral and it's us who put life into it, whether that be a negative or a positive spin on it, or even a neutral spin on it. You know, this is all part of what Allah has blessed us with and given us free choice. It's one of the blessings Allah has given us, is free choice. The more we get clarity around that, the more clarity you have and the better connection you have with Allah. Allah is always there. Allah does not change. But our perception of Allah changes, our connection with Allah changes. It's us. Again, it's us. So this is what makes it so hopeful. It's all about us. And that's why I was so passionate about the Me First Summit, because at the end of the day, it's really all about us. Now, if anyone has any other questions, put your hand up if you want to say a question out loud. Otherwise, type the question. And welcome those who've just joined us, by the way. MashaAllah, great to have you here. I'm just working through questions that have come up during the week. So I copied and pasted the whole question. I need to find the bit where it's actually the question. So this is sort of more of a continuation of what we've been talking about. So the sister was saying that when she did the visualization, you know, there were things and ideas and passions and abilities and all these things came popping up from her, but that she feels pulled back by parents and spouse. And we've just been talking about that. The thing that we want to make sure of is whether they really are holding us back. And of course, there are some people who are. It's harder to hear. Okay, I'm going to put the birds out. Just thank you for telling me that. They're a bit rowdy today. I'll put them out. Hang on a minute. Sorry, guys, you're too noisy. You're going outside. I'll bring you back in after, okay? Out you go. Have a nice chat to the other birds out there. There you go. Hopefully that's better. Yeah, sorry about that. Sometimes they just get a bit rowdy, those birds. Hope that's better, Amina. So, yes, there are some spouses and there are some parents who are oppressive, and we've talked about them today already, where their expectation is unreasonable. But there is also the time we have to be careful that it's not us, that we're not building a picture in our mind and stopping ourselves because of that. I'm going to give you a really good example. And children, yes, and children as well. I'm not going to use a family example. I'm going to use the Muslim community example. So I have always been a fairly, I think the word is effervescent personality, like use my hands a lot, laugh a lot when I talk. You've probably noticed that from the videos. And when I became a Muslim, it was made very clear to me that that wasn't okay if men were around, that you have to behave in a particular way, you have to be really shy and you only speak when spoken to and all this kind of thing, which of course there is the element of modesty in our behavior. The problem was I had a nervous giggle. And it was just a giggle that came when I'm nervous. And then because of all of this thing about you have to behave a certain way around men, and all my life, you know, because I was in the IT industry and that sort of thing, I was dealing with men, you know, in a very business-like, normal sort of fashion. But just the whole concept of, oh, you have to be different around men now, got me so nervous that then that nervous giggle was actually amplified. So I was doing it even more. And so then I was getting even more criticism. And it was really a bit of a vicious circle, and to the point where I just felt completely uncomfortable in showing who I was in the ummah. And so I hid who I really was. Yeah, so I hid who I really was and tried to be somebody else. until I found myself again through this whole process of understanding that, you know, feelings come from thought in the moment and becoming fearlessly confident. And last October, we had an open day at the mosque. And all of the men who are the members of the Islamic Society of South Australia Committee were there. Three of the imams were there and two professors from the university who are professors in Sharia law were there. And I was standing up the front with one of the other sisters and we were doing a talk on Muslim women. And we'd accumulated, like pretty much the whole mosque was full. Everybody that came to the open day was fascinated to hear about Muslim women. It turned out that that's a topic that they're really keen to hear about and understand more about. And so they all just sat down and listened. So we had quite a captive audience. So the sister was explaining the slides and then I was giving life examples. And I just became my natural self and just talked about myself and talked about my story and just was very natural and spoke to them in a very natural Aussie way, which I'd never felt confident to do before. I'd been so scared to show who I was because then they'll think I'm a bad Muslim or whatever. Anyway, the whole idea of being my Aussie self went well with the audience because it was the Aussie audience. And so it really connected with them. They really could understand what I was saying. They felt it made sense. They could see I was just being genuine, telling my story. So it really helped. I had one of the professors, one of the committee members and one of the imams, each of them individually come and thank me for my contribution. And since then, in all the things that we've, because we've had the Salam Festival and various other projects since then, it seems I've gained respect rather than lost it. So all these years, and I'm talking about being a Muslim 21 years, sisters, I have been hiding from these people because I thought I had to be different. And guess what? It was in my own head. SubhanAllah, because when I became myself, and just showed up as myself, I actually seem to have more respect than I did before. SubhanAllah. So this is one of the things that we have to be really careful of, is that it's not us holding ourselves back by having a belief that people are going to think this if we do this, or people are going to think this if we want this. We don't know what they're going to think. And even if they've had a pattern of thinking about things a certain way, if we approach it from a different angle, we don't know that they're not going to see it from a different angle. So we're holding, so there's an element in all of this where we're holding ourselves back as well. And so this is where the fearless confidence is really helpful, is when we feel that, we feel really like what we're asking for is pleasing to Allah, it's good for us. We know that we need these things in our life in order to be able to fulfill our responsibilities to our family well, because we're going to be a much healthier person emotionally and physically for having these things in our life. And we know that it's not going to reduce our ability to serve the people that we love the way we want to serve them. That's where we get fearless confidence, because we just know that we're not asking for anything that's unreasonable, and we're not asking for anything that is going to affect the people in our life in a negative way. In fact, it's most likely going to affect them positively. Now, one of the comments there said that if the person who asking the question asks for what they want or need, that it's then turned around on them of not to use that disrespectful tone, or that they're being disrespectful. Again, that comes to, is that really true? Because what happens is we believe it, we hear it, we believe it, and then we feel defeated, deflated, either of those, like we were wrong. The reality could be that the other person is struggling with that idea. And the fact that they have an initial struggle with it because it's different can actually be okay. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to process it realize that what you've asked for is reasonable and come out the other end and changing their mind. We tend to give up at that first point where it's like, oh, well, there's no point. Just like every other time, there's no point. So again, all of these things come back to us and finding that emotional stability, that peace inside, inshallah. So I think I've covered all of the questions that... well, there was a question here about boundaries. Really, what happens with boundaries? Boundaries really are basically the limits that are set by Allah, right? If someone crosses a boundary with you, it means that they've crossed over into where they're transgressing the limits with you one way or another. Or, you know, we're doing it with someone else. You know, we're human too. These things, firstly, people, when you're feeling confident, when you have this inner confidence, people are less likely to do it in the first place. And when they do, instead of it really being an emotional reaction, it's more of a, hey, mate, what do you think you're doing? It becomes something that's just so calm and natural that they're like, oh, sorry, because they don't expect that kind of like reminder that's done in such a really, even can be like a flippant way. Some of them, yeah, they might react. I mean, my family at the moment is reacting strongly to something because I've set some limits with them. I know in my heart, I know in my heart that what I'm doing is right and I have to do it. Alhamdulillah. They don't get it, but it's their problem that they're having these feelings and they have to work through them. It's not my responsibility to work through their feelings for them. We can't protect people from having feelings. We can't even predict what feelings they're going to have. None of it is our responsibility. And if we're living our life trying to do that, then we are only going to end up losing ourselves and losing life, really, because it's just not possible. It's not possible to predict anyone's feelings, and it's not possible. I mean, you might get it right sometimes, but what I'm saying is from one moment to the next, they could have different feelings. It's also not possible to cure other people's feelings because it comes from within them. Just like our feelings come from our thought in the moment, their feelings come from their thought in the moment. Unless you can get into their head and change their thinking, then you don't have any control over that. It's not our job. With children, different story, and I'm not going to go into children right now. That's, you know, because that's my parenting stuff. Children is a different story because children's brains are still developing and children need guidance. But once someone is an adult, you are not responsible for their feelings. You do not have to take care of their feelings. If everything you have done fits within the laws of Allah and that you have done it in a respectful manner and then they've had feelings about it, then the problem is coming from them, not from you. Okay, so just let's have a look. So yes, Abdullah, then that is, if you're not sure whether what it is that you want to do is acceptable to Allah, that's where knowledge comes in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us we all need to seek knowledge. So we all need to understand our deen. If we want to live in a life pleasing to Allah, we need to know what pleases Allah and what displeases Allah. So we need to seek knowledge. It needs to be a part of our life that we have invested time in learning our deen, not just what we've been told. Because I can tell you, if I lived by what I'd been told, I'd be living a very peculiar life. No, actually do proper lessons in Islamic studies so that you know where that line is. If you're not sure, you know, then ask Allah, make dua. Oh Allah, this is something I want. I'm not sure if it's good for me or pleasing to me. So pray the istikhara prayer and see what happens, inshallah. Exactly, Amina. You're not responsible for adults' feelings. Now, how do we deal with adults' feelings? The way I look at it now is if I am in the right space, in other words, I'm in a good space emotionally, then I might listen to that adult and help them unravel whatever it is that's bothering them so that they can feel better. It's not me making them feel better, it's me just listening. So you know how I've taught you about listening partnerships? Kind of it's like I'm giving them listening time, except it's not in a partnership, and nor is it that I'm announcing to them that's what I'm doing. I just stop talking and I listen to them and I let them unravel it so that they can see what's going on inside of them. And inshallah, find the end. Now, that doesn't work when you're talking about abusive type person. I had my ex-husband could talk for 3 hours and he wouldn't even feel any better. So I don't recommend, if you've got someone like that, to try that. I'm talking about normal relationships here. So you can do that, but it's not your responsibility to do that. So if I was in a space where I couldn't do that, that I've already had, and I already know that I'm outside in about things, that I'm already having feelings about things and I'm not seeing clearly that, you know, my feelings are coming from thought in the moment, then I'm not going to be a good person to listen, because there's going to be stuff that they say that's probably going to affect me because I'm not in the right space. Then I have every right to say, look, I can't do this right now. I realize that you're struggling, but I can't do it right now. And you have every right to say that. And it is hard, by the way. I'm not suggesting anything that's easy, but it does get easier. It does get easier. And you guys are in exactly the right place, you know, to be learning what you need to learn to start making that, you know, those changes in your life. And I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that you now go out and go, right, Catherine said this, so I'm just going to go and charge at it. Just allow this journey to happen in its time. Let it flow. Don't try and push it. I was always in such a rush, I tried to push it and it slowed me down. The faster way to insight is the calmer way, is to just take it every day and go, you know what, every day is perfect just the way it is. Do your gratitude journal so you're feeling grateful. Breathe in the fresh air, stop and pause. You know, use your 5 daily prayers as a moment to really stop and pause from the hustle bustle of the day. Really just absorb what you've got to be grateful for. Get yourself into that space. That's where insight can happen. The way it was described to me once was that insight comes in between our thoughts, that while we've got thoughts going like this in our head, there's no space for insight to slip in. But when we're calmer, when our mind isn't in such a rush, then there's opportunity for insight to come through. It's almost like it's there all the time, really. And if you understand insight the way I understand insight, that makes total sense. It's just that we're not seeing it because our thinking is going a mile a minute. And when it slows down, we can start seeing things. So I had a huge insight this week, you know, and it was probably another reason why I felt very outside in and very tired yesterday. So physical tiredness can actually be an emotional response. And I know mine yesterday was. Because I don't think I was physically tired. It's a very different sort of tiredness. It's quite a heavy tiredness. It's a heavy and I don't want to do anything tiredness, whereas I can be really physically tired and still do a lot. I had a big insight as to, because one of the people I'm struggling with at the moment is my mother. I had a really big insight into what's going on with my mum and why it is the way it is, and then realizing it's been like that my entire life, but I didn't see it. And now I see it, it helps me understand better how I might approach her. I'm not there yet, and I'm not going to force it, because sometime in this next week, insight will come and I will be like, oh, well, this is how I need to approach it with my mum. Inshallah. I, you know, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless me with that guidance, because, you know, we don't want to have difficulties with, especially with our parents. Abusive people expect you to take responsibility for their feelings and their actions. Exactly. And that they're the reason that we are the reason they are the way they are. Reality is, it's not true at all. It's a complete and utter lie. We could be nice and call it a misconception on their part, but it's not true. It's not true. You neither are responsible for their feelings, nor are you responsible for their actions. If someone says to you, you made me do that, we can't make anyone do anything. A person chooses to do it. Just like you can't force a person to be a Muslim, because, you know, you have to believe for your shahada to actually be valid anyway. You know, there's a lot of escaping responsibility by blaming others, by suggesting things like, oh, you made me do it. If you hadn't have done this, I wouldn't have done that. No, it's not true. It's not true at all. Yes, your physical being. So these sisters who were talking about how in the summit that talked about ending up with fibromyalgia, with Lyme's disease, and these really serious conditions that they now have to manage for the rest of their lives, that was the physiological effect of what was happening to them. A lot of these things are coming from an emotional source. We need to be healthy spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And there's a lot of people out there teaching you the physical stuff, all the scholars, the spiritual stuff, all the scholars teaching you about Islam and how to practice it and what's good for you and all of that. There's a lot of people out there teaching you about physical well-being. You know, there's a weight loss option on every corner. There's nutrition options everywhere. That's everywhere, that knowledge. What we need to add to the picture is good information about our emotional well-being, because we need all three to live in a balanced way, and they all affect each other. If you are emotionally feeling down, and so then you feel tired, then you feel lazy to pray. So there you go, it's affected all three. Just for an example. Do we have any more questions? Because I think I've covered all the questions that I... with our children, are we responsible if we did things wrong in the past? Do you mean, are we responsible for our children's actions, or are we responsible for what we did to our children? I'm not... You might need to actually just elaborate that a little more. For their feelings now. Okay. If you take on feeling responsible for their feelings, it's going to be hard for you to step into the space you need to step into to help them, if that makes sense. While you're feeling responsible for the way they're feeling because of what happened in the past, your feelings are going to stop you being present in the moment and being in the place you need to be to help them. Are we responsible? I guess in some way, you know, we were responsible for the experiences they had. This is a very, very tricky question, because of course, there is a certain element of responsibility, but taking responsibility of that, there is a constructive way of looking at it, and there's a very destructive way of looking at it. So if our feeling responsible for what our children went through and beating ourselves up about it and feeling guilty about it, this is not helpful. It's destructive and it's not going to help our children heal. If we're able to look at it and go, you know what? I didn't know any better at the time. I did the best I could at the time. And now when I look back on it, I can see this, 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 and this. And that is most likely why, you know, they've got these sorts of feelings going on. That wasn't good. You know, I ask Allah to forgive me, you know, for my shortcomings and to bless me with the strength to help turn this around, and ask Allah to help you turn it around and take it from this angle, then it's still taking responsibility, but it's in a very constructive way. Can you understand the difference, Halima? Because if we're beating ourselves up and feeling guilty, we're useless to our children. We're absolutely useless to them. It does not help them one bit, and we're just perpetuating the problem. But if we can go, you know what? Wish I'd known better. I mean, I've got many of these myself. Wish I'd known better. I would have done better, but I didn't. Okay, move on. I know better now. Let's do better now. And part of this is going to be that the older they get, part of it's going to be their journey. And I totally expect at various times my children to be angry with me as they work through their stuff, as they figure things out. That they might realize, you know, why didn't mom protect me from this, or why didn't she do that? And it'll be because I didn't know any better at the time, but for them it'll be like they deserved to be protected, and yes, absolutely they did. And I wouldn't, you know, and when and if my best outcome in that would be that they feel strong enough, or they feel safe enough is the right word, to tell me how angry they feel with me, so that I can actually look at them in the eyes and go, you have every right to feel that, and I am so sorry that I let you down then. I won't feel like the worst mom in the world or a disaster as a result of it. I will feel really relieved and happy at the opportunity to rectify things. SubhanAllah. Are there any other questions? What I'd like everybody who's here to do, and I know some of you have just haven't actually asked any questions or interacted, but I do want to hear from everybody who is here, and I want to congratulate you first for being here. Awesome. I mean, that in itself shows me, you know, that you're committed, you know, to change. Alhamdulillah. What I would like everybody to write before we go, and I'll read your what you've written, Amina, in a moment and answer that. But I would really like everybody to share with me what they're taking away from being here at this session. And I know some people have been here from the beginning, others have come in partway through. So whatever you have taken away from this session, I would love for you to share that with me. What that does is it helps me understand whether how I've explained things has been helpful, whether it's been taken the right way, or whether I've got more work to do. It's not an assessment or anything like that. It really helps me, but it also helps you. When you have to actually put together in writing your takeaway, and this is why I get you to do it every video, and I would like from now on, those of you who are here and listening to this, from now on, every time you listen to one of my videos in the Master Your Emotions, to put your thoughts at the bottom, comment on it. Because when you do that, it's like you're consolidating what you've heard. You're pulling it together into thinking about how this can be helpful. It's actually helping you as much as it's helping me. So I would love everybody to write an insight before they go a takeaway, what you're taking away, what you've found helpful, useful, interesting, new, something you learned from today's session. Please type it in the box, inshallah. And next week, we'll do another Q&A at the same time. Next week, I want to aim for us to have cameras on and for you to talk to me, okay? I've let you sit there behind your little grey boxes on the screen and type to me, but I would like us to actually start talking next week. Don't let that scare you from coming, because I'm not going to be mean and force you. But I would really love to build the interaction, inshallah, because that is also going to really help you if you can speak up. Okay. Okay, what can I say or think when I say to someone I'm divorced and they act like it's the end of the world and they try to say or in tell it must have been, I must have done something wrong? Ah, just don't believe them. Their problem if they think that. Honestly, Amina, you're going to get people, you're going to get people who will judge that way. If people are judgmental like that, then I can tell you right now, they can't see where their feelings are coming from. Because another symptom of understanding where our feelings come from is compassion and non-judgmental attitudes towards people. You start to see everyone as human beings, not as something that you've defined by looking at them. So honestly, Amina, I just wouldn't give it any more thought. I give you permission not to think about it. I know that had your marriage been able to work, you would have still been in it. And the fact that you've already mentioned certain things shows me that the best thing you could have done was to get out. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so these are the takeaways. To me, it was the idea of fearless confidence and how when we work on ourselves and get to a calm and peaceful place, people react differently to us. And also to make dua for everything that we want and need. Absolutely, Maisara, awesome, mashallah. Halima wants fearless confidence to do things better and not going to let a destructive responsibility hurt her. Fantastic, Halima, awesome. Hanan, I'm not responsible for others' feelings and actions. Great. Amina, that there is hope? Definitely. And it's going to happen because you've been through abuse and still manage to work your way through to achieve peace and harmony within. Exactly. Let me be, if I can do it, you can do it. Let me be your motto, okay? If you need a motto. If Catherine can do it, I can do it. Got it? pleasing Allah is the most important thing, yes. Be confident when you are on the right path with Islamic rule and you have not wronged or hurt anybody. Yes, exactly. So many people will tell us that we're wrong, but how can we be wrong if we have adhered? If we have pleased Allah, then of course we haven't transgressed the limits of others, you know? Alhamdulillah. A sense of relief, it's okay not to be responsible for others' feelings. Yes, it is a huge relief. Consider more the emotional aspect of physical pain and tiredness. Yes. That's really important because, yes, I read what you were writing, Abdullah, and there will be an element of your experience that is coming from emotions. And when you can understand and see that, your physical experience may improve, inshallah. And I'd love you to share anything that you discover about that. All of you, share your insight because it helps. And you know how we talked about separate realities? Look at each and every one of your takeaways from this. You've all experienced my same words, but you're getting different takeaways. Here's the perfect example that we're all in separate realities because each and every one of you will have gone through my words and picked the bit that meant the most to you, that was most helpful to you right now. And that's just how we work. But you've all picked great stuff, by the way. And Waiyaki, for whatever words have relieved you, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me with more of them. Yes, you gain respect when you're in your best self. You certainly do. Alhamdulillah, Abdullah. So who didn't I hear from? Everybody said something apart from Maryam. I'll let Mariam off the hook. She might not be able to be fully engaged with kids or something. I'm not sure right now. She's one of my peaceful parenting students. Alhamdulillah. Awesome. Ah, what a great session. Well, I hope you think it was. I do. I think we covered so much in so much depth, and I am glad that you've had those takeaways. They're fantastic. And anyone who is listening to the recording when I post it, make sure you comment your takeaways as well. You're not going to get away with it just because you're not here live. You need to write your takeaways too after the video. I'll be posting this in the Facebook group and on Teachable so that people can write their comments. And as I said, the more you engage in this, the more you start writing your takeaways and thinking about what am I taking away from what I've said, the more you're getting yourself into the space where insight will happen and change will happen, inshallah. Okay. Waiyaki, you're most welcome, and ameen to your dua. Jazakallah khair for your dua. It's really awesome to have you all here because, you know, you've shown me that you really want it. You really want it. You really want to be in that peaceful place inside, and it is very possible for each and every one of you, inshallah. It's our natural state of being. It's going to feel so natural when you find it, inshallah. Just know that. You have it inside you. It's already there, actually. It's already there. We just got to shed a lot of the stuff that's getting in the way of you seeing it, inshallah. I'm going to go. Awesome session. See you next week. We're going to do the same thing each week until we finish the challenge too, by the way. I've decided that having interaction with you and really understanding your questions and where you're at is going to be most helpful to this adventure. So make sure that you share in the group how helpful it was to be here so others will attend next time too and benefit as well, inshallah. Waiyaki, it's my absolute pleasure. So I'm going to end with Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me for anything that I may have said that was incorrect. But anything that I said that was correct and truthful is certainly from Allah and a blessing from Allah. And I hope that blessing is shared with you. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.